So let's look at the Mishnah. We're talking on Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. And the Mishnah is going to analyze the pasuk Lo Sishchal Al Chametz Dam Zivchi, which means that you're not allowed to shecht the korban when there's chametz in the reshus of the shochet. We'll see later on what if there's chametz in the reshus of the zorek or in the reshus of the bnei chabura. But one thing is for sure: the Torah says explicitly that the shechita is a violation of a lav, and if the shochet has chametz in his possession, then he violates this law. So the Mishnah is going to deal with various situations. Hashochet es ha-pesach al ha-chametz over belos haseh. Now he points out here, in the name of the Rambam, that he's got to have at least a minimum of kezayis of chametz in his reshus in order to violate this law. And I found this a bit of a chiddush, because usually when we talk about the shear of kezayis, we're talking about achila. Here he's not eating the chametz, he's only shechting the korban pesach. So my impression is, I don't know, I have to analyze this further, that Rambam is making some sort of analogy between the Isra achilas chametz and the Isra of possession of the chametz. Then he points out something else here, and that is that even Tosfos' shita is that even though if he has chametz in a possession, he violates the law of shechita, the carbon is still kosher. Doesn't pass the carbon. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af hatomit. So not only do you violate the law by shechting the carbon Pesach, but you also violate the law if you shech the carbon tamid, which is the carbon tamid bein harbayim on the afternoon of the 14th of Pesach, and if he owns chametz, he violates the law. Now, where does it say in the pasuk that we're talking about the carbon tamid? So that the Gemara is going to pick up later on. Rav Shimon Omer Pesach bar Basar. Oh, now here we had the principle that if you shech the carbon Pesach in the afternoon of the 14th, so if you shech it lishma, then the carbon is kosher. If you shech the shalo lishma, let's say l'shem ola or something like that, then the carbon is pasul. Now there's an inverse relationship as far as the violation of the lav lo sishchot, meaning if you shechted it lishma on Erev Pesach, but you have chametz in your possession, then because it's a valid shechita, you violate the law. But says Reb Shimon, if you shechted the carbon Pesach shalo lishma on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, which means that the carbon is pasul, therefore he's potur from the violation of the law of lo shishcha. And that's called, in the language of the Gemara, shechita sheina re'uya. That if the shechita is not re'uya, then it's lav shmei shechita. And therefore he doesn't violate the law. So that would be a case of shalol lishma on Erev Pesach. He quotes in the footnote of Rambam, in Pirusha Mishnayis, the Rambam says that since he shechted the carbon shalol lishma, then the carbon no longer has the status of a carbon Pesach. And therefore, according to Rav Shimon, he's not chayav for the violation of this law. So I'm wondering, according to the Rambam, would Rav Shimon argue with Rabbi Yehuda about the carbon tamid? It sounds like the Rambam is assuming that according to Rav Shimon, you're only be chayav for the violation of lo sishchat if it was a carbon Pesach. Meaning, if shalol lishma means that undermines the status of the carbon as a carbon Pesach, I don't see why he can't be in violation of the law under a different category, of a different carbon. But the rabbi writes, Eino carbon pesach. Now, what happens shar kol hazvachim? What happens in the case of a different carbon? Let's say, for example, it's common that you would shech the carbon chagiga on the 14th, or again, you could talk about the Talmud Shel Ben Arbaim that Rabbi Yehuda addressed. So here, Rabbi Shimon says, Bein Lishman, Bein Shalol Lishman, Potter. Now, so Rabbi Shimon doesn't accept that you could be chayav for Lo Sishcha Al HaChametz, for possession of Chametz, with regard to Olah Zvach. Is that correct? Am I right? Because he says, Shar Kol HaZvachim, So he owns chametz, and we're talking about the 14th of Nisan in the afternoon. And even if the carbon is kosher because he shechted lishma, nevertheless he's potter for owning chametz. So it means that Rav Shimon holds that losishcha al chametz is referring to a carbon pesach, and not to any other carbon. Which again, that was intuitively our assumption when we read the pasuk losishcha al chametz tam sifti. Rabbi Yehuda, I think, is the one who's a little bit odd, and he says that even for shechting a different carbon, for example, the carbon tamid, if you own chametz, you violate the law.
The pasuk is in the middle of talking about carbon pesach. And talk of chametz, which is clearly a Pesach oriented halacha. So it's kind of like, but by the strict reading, just this pasuk, it says dam zivchi, any zevach.
Ah, I see. So Rav Yehuda is going to say, as hopefully we'll get to, that when it says dam zivchi, it's expanding it to include all the zvachim. Rav Shimon is saying that we're talking about the carbon pesach.
It could have said dam pischi. Why not?
Ah, that's a good question. Okay, maybe we'll get
straight to Rabbi Yehuda.
I don't know. 2 points for Rabbi Yehuda. He writes here in the footnote, which I don't understand, that since at that moment of time, namely Erev Pesach after Chatzos, he would be chayev for this lav if he shechted Karban Pesach, therefore he's not chayev for any other zvachim. It's almost as if Pesach takes over the area, you know. It's like in Kol Yalom Gavar, you know, there was a space for the violation of this law, and it was now taken over by Pesach, and therefore no other zevach would generate the Iser of Los Sishcha. So then we're going to ask the question about Bimoed, because as far as Korban Pesach is concerned, you can only violate this law on Erev Pesach, but what about during the balance of the Korban Pesach of Chag HaPesach? So it could be possible that Reb Shimon would agree that you do violate this law. And that's what we're going to see in the next part of this Mishnah. But Moed, if he shechted a carbon pesach with possession over chametz during the Moed, if he shechts it lishma, that means the carbon is possible, becomes a shechita shena ru'uya, therefore he's potur for the law of lo sishcha. However, if he shechts it shelo lishma, then paradoxically the carbon is kosher, it becomes a carbon shlomim, because Pesach Shalom Bismano is Shlomim, but then he's going to be Chayav for the Lav of Lo Sishcha, because it's a Shechita Re'uya. V'shar kol hazvachim, if he shechts any other Zemach during the Moed of Pesach, Bein Lishma, Bein Shalom Lishma, Chayav. Because even Shalom Lishma, the carbon is still kosher. And as long as the carbon is kosher, he violates this Lav. So it's very interesting. The pasuk doesn't limit this lav to Erev Pesach. I guess it extends to as long as there's a Shem Chametz as far as the Iser Chametz is concerned, which means during the entire balance of the Chag. None of this would be relevant the rest of the year. So we have Erev Pesach, where according to Rav Shimon, you chay for a Korban Pesach. And it's got to be with Shema, because otherwise it's not going to be a Korban Pesach. And then you violate the lav. And then during the Moed, it's also considered Allah Chametz, but there we're not talking about a Pesach, we're talking about other Zvachim, because a Pesach Lishma during the balance of the Chag is Pasul, and therefore it's a Shechita Shein Aruya. If it was Shalom Lishma, it becomes a Karban Kosher, and therefore he violates the law, because it's a Shechita Aruya. And again, I think we're going to come back to Tosus's point that even though he violates a law, and we'll give Malkus for that violation of the law if it was Asra, nevertheless, the carbon is kosher. So it's really interesting when you think about it. Imagine he's shechting a carbon pesach during the chag, and he has chametz in his possession. And he makes two mistakes over here. Number one, instead of shechting it lishma, which is the shem pesach, he shechts it shalom lishma. The carbon itself is kosher, b'tor shlomim, but he violates the law for having chametz in his possession.
Right,
but that, you know, since he shechted shalom lishma, again, he's really messing it up here. In two ways, he's messing it up. First of all, why are you bringing a carbon pesach during the moed? It's already over zmana. Secondly, he's doing it shalom lishma, which itself is a problem. But paradoxically, shalom lishma works in the positive, and yet it works in the negative. It works in the positive because it's machshir the carbon as a shlamim, but it works in the negative because now that he has possession of chametz, he violates the law.
Which he would get anyway. The fact that he had lishmar or not lishmar doesn't affect the law.
If it was, well, yes, because if it was a shrub, it's during the moed, it's now as a carbon parcel. It's not. It's not worthless. And then it becomes a shita shayna ruin.
All right. Because dafka becomes kosher.
Right.
Kosher as a name.
And so the shma makes it into a carbon parcel.
The other mistake he has is chametz the Pesach.
Right. It's interesting. He might get two sets of malchus here. One malchus for owning chametz during the chag, and another violation of los sishcha. That's what he points out actually in the footnote. He says, "Klomar nolvad masha omer over belav shelo yiroa velo yimotze loka gam mishum shochen al chametz." So you really give this guy, you know, a whole bunch of asros and a whole bunch of series of malchus. Okay, the Gemara now analyzes who is it that violates this isur. Is it only a shochet? Omer Rav Shimon, lokish li olam eino chayev ad sheyehei hachometz la shochet ola zorek. So we never knew about this until we saw Reish Lakish, meaning as far as we were concerned, taking a more limited conservative view, this violation requires shechita, and it only applies to the shechita, but Reish Lakish expands it to zrika. Now he has a long discussion here. Now it's very interesting. Who's actually in possession of the chametz? So the simplest case, before we get to the more complicated case, would be, let's say the shochet has chametz in his possession and he shechted it. The zorek has chametz in his possession and he was zoreked. That's clear. Both of these would violate the law that would be chayv malchus going to Reish Lakish. But what happens if the shochet has no chametz in his possession, but the zorek has chametz in his possession, or the other way around? So he quotes here machlokas on this point. Rashi is of the opinion, and this is developed by the Tzlach and the Minchas Chinuch, that the shochet is not going to be chayv for possession of chametz by the zorek, or vice versa, but rather hazorek over kishu zorek al chametz shedershu so. And a shochet over kishyesh lo chametz b'rishuso. That's the way the Achronim understand Rashi. But then he quotes a Pirush Rivan. I'm not sure how you get access to the Pirush Rivan on Psochim. It's one of the Bali Atosfos. And he writes that the shochet violates this lav if there's chametz in the rishus of the zorek, and the zorek violates this lav if there's chametz in the rishus of the shochet. I only have a logistical problem here. How is the shochet held responsible for the chametz that's in the rishus of the zorek? How does he even know that there's chametz in the rishus of the zorek? But the truth is, my question is not a valid question, because if you turn to Samach Gimel Amid Beis, Reish Lakish adds another element to the equation, only echad mibnei achabura, which means that the shochet violates this lav if one of the bnei achabura has chametz in his possession, he's money on the Korban Pesach. The Zorek violates the law if he went to do the Zrika when one of the Bnei HaChabura has chametz in his possession. And how could the Shochet, or the Zorek for that matter, be responsible for the possession of the chametz on the part of somebody else? And the only way I can answer this question is if I hold the Al B'Samach, which we're going to see in a second, which means that the chametz actually is in the Azara. Which means that we can expect the shochet to know about that.
And be hatrach about that.
Right. We're going to have to go through that, so we'll get it right away. But imagine the following scenario. The one of the bnei achabura, or the zorek, it has chametz in his possession somewhere in his house. I don't know if he lives in Yerushalayim, maybe he lives out in Beit Shemesh, I don't know where he lives. And the shochet is shechting the karbon Pesach in the Azara. And the shochet is going to be chayv malchus because so and so, we'll call him one of the menuyim, or he's the zorek, he has chametz in his house out there in Kochav HaShachar. That's pretty odd. And in the footnote, he quotes Rashi, that Rashi says that if the one of the Bnei Achabura has possession of chametz, then in such a case, there are two people who violate the law, both the shochet and that person who's one of the Bnei Achabura and has chametz in his possession. Meaning, the shochet is the representative of all the menuyim, and therefore, when the shochet went ahead and shechted the karbon, and this person, one of the menuyim, maintains his possession of a chametz, not only is the shochet in violation, again, we have to know technically how the shochet knows about this, but even the person who didn't check the karbon is in violation. My only question is, I don't think we can give malchus in such a case, even according to this pshita of Rashi, because he's not doing any action. Then he quotes a Tosfos who says that the Bnei Chabura are not included in the lav. The lav only includes the shochet or the zorek. The possession of the chametz, which sets up the lav, which is violated by either the shochet or the zorik or both, that's one of the Bnei Chabur, but the violation of the lav is not applicable to the one of the Bnei Chabur, because the Torah says lo sishchat, and this person who sets up the lav, but he's not in violation of lo sishchat. So this is a pretty fundamental machlokas here between Rashi and Tosfos on this point. Then we said the following. V'achiyehei imo bazor. Reish Lakish says that the only time you violate the lav is if the chametz is with him in the azor. Now again, who possesses this chametz? It's lav dafka the shochet. It might be the zorek. It might be one of the bnei achabura. But the chametz is located in the azor. I find this whole thing a little bit weird. Like, why is the chametz in the azor?
He brought it with, maybe he thought it was leftover lunch.
It's just a strange kind of scenario, you know. When you think about your Rabbi Matzeh, you know, you don't think that the chametz is going to be in the Azara of all places. But in this case, he's going into the Azara. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure how and why this went on. But that's Reish Lakish. And the Gemara is going to suggest that Reish Lakish holds Al B'Samuch, right? And Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afal Pisha Ein Imo Bazara. So the chametz is not in the azara. However, he says in the name of the Achronim that the chametz has to be al kol panim in Yerushalayim. It can't be outside Yerushalayim. Okay. So the mai kav miflugi ilema be al b'samach kav miflugi. It says lo sishchat al chametz. How do you interpret the word al? And we have a precedent that the word al means besamuch from the Chaniya in the Golem during the Chaniya in the Midbar, in Bamidbar Beis. It says, we all love Mata Menashe, which means that the Mata of Menashe settled in camp close to the Mata of Ephraim, and therefore they were part of the same Degel. So we see that the word Olav or Al means besamuch. Reish Lakish Sovar Al B'Samach, and therefore Reish Lakish says you only violate the lav of Al Chametz if the Chametz is in the Azor, right near the Shochet. Rabbi Yochanan Sovar Lo Be'inan Al B'Samach. So the Gemara says that can't be the Machlokas. Why? If we give you Achad Azimna, we already have this Machlokas. There's no need to repeat this Machlokas. What's the paradigm case of this machlokas that al b'samach olav al b'samach? That's the case of lachmei toda. So the Torah says that there are lachmei chametz which have to be accompanied. They have to accompany a korban toda, and the pasuk says al chalos lechem chametz yakriv korbano al zevach todas shlom al. Now, what exactly are we discussing here? We know that the lachmei toda accompany the korban toda, correct? But what din requires samuch? Let's say if we hold al requires besamuch. So he says here that it has to do with what's called kiddush halechem. And the principle works like the following. Shchitas ha-todo mekadeshes es ha-lechamim ha-boyim imo. In other words, there's no separate Maisa Kiddush to sanctify the Lechamim, the Lachmei Todah, but rather that Kiddush is effectuated by the Shechita of the Todah. And now we have to ask the question, where are the Lechamim at the moment that he shechts the Todah, such that now the Shechita of the Todah is Mekadesh the Lechamim? And that's going to be a subject of the Machlokes, Shrimei Shlokish, and Rabbi Yochanan. The Snat, we learned in the Mishnah Menachos, Hashoche Todah Lifnim. So the carbon Todah, like any other carbon, has to be shechted inside the Azara. The Lachma Chutz Lechoma. What if the Lechem is outside of the Azara? Lo Kiddush HaLechem. The Shechitas HaTodah does not effectuate a Kiddush on the Lachmei Todah, because the Lachmei Todah are Chutz Lechoma. Now, what does Chutz Lechoma mean? Let's suggest two possibilities of Chutz Lechoma. One possibility would be outside of the Azara. The other possibility would be outside of Yerushalayim. And that's going to be a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. My Chutz Lechoma. My, what does it mean, Chutz Lechoma? The Mishnah doesn't spell out what Chutz Lechoma means. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chutz Lechoma is Beis Pagi. Beis Pagi is a place that's located on the edge of Yerushalayim, and the Lachomim are outside of the Choma of Beis Pagi, which by definition means they're outside of the Choma of Yerushalayim. Nevertheless, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Mishnah had to tell me a big chiddush, that the Shechita of the Todah is not Makadesh the Lechamim, even though they're outside of, right, because they're outside of Yerushalayim. The implication would be, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that if, and here's the big Kiddush, that if they were outside the Azara, but inside Yerushalayim, anywhere in Yerushalayim, then Kaddish, Aval, Chutz Lechomas Azara, anywhere in Yerushalayim, is Kaddish. No, it's Chutz Lechomas based Pagi, means it's outside Yerushalayim, and therefore the Shechita is not Makadish Lechem. But if the Lechomim are within Yerushalayim, even though they're Chutz Lechoma, Kaddish. Why? Because Lo Be'in and Al Besamuch. So in other words, you need a place that's Roi for the Achila. And when we come to Karban Todah and Lachmi Todah, which is called Kachim Kalan, you can eat them anywhere within Yerushalayim. Reish Lakish Amar, Afilu Chutz Lechomas Azara Lo Kaddish. Reish Lakish says that Al means Besamuch. And if the Lechomim are outside of the Choma of the Azara, then there's no Kiddush on the Lechomim. Alma Be'inon Samach. So why would the Mishnah feel... So the Gemara is basically asking, you're just repeating an old machlokas, where in Lachmei Todah, as far as Kiddush is concerned, Reish Lakish requires Al Besamuch, and Lachmei Todah, in order to be Miskadish, have to be within the Azara. And Rabbi Yochanan says, you don't need Besamuch anywhere in Yerushalayim, as long as it's within Yerushalayim, it's Roi Lachila. Ela, says the Gemara, what's the machlok stream, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish? Basra, Safeg, Kamiflegi. And the problem is that the Chametz is not in the Azara. If the Chametz is in the Azara, so we can see the Chametz, and we can give Masra, we can say, B'Torah's Vadai, if you go ahead and you shech the Karbon, there's Chametz in the Azara, and therefore you violate the Iser of what? Lo Sishchar al Chametz, Dam Zivchi. But if the Chametz is not in the Azara, then we have an issue of Hasra Safek, because we don't know if there is Chametz or there's not Chametz. Now let me ask you this, Max. According to Reish Lakish, if the Chametz is not in the Azara, then is there a Havamina that you could violate this Lav?
Sure, but not because you don't need to require Al Besamuch.
No, according to Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is the one who requires Al Besamuch, right?
No, I don't.
So when the Gemara here says that there's a problem of Asar Safik which could undermine the Malkus here, then it's not going according to Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish would say, what do you mean Asar Safik? It's outside the Azara, then it's there. Not Al Besamuch.
It's there.
So my impression is, I didn't find anyone who says this, that the Gemara, when it says Asar Safik HaMiflegi, is talking about Rabbi Yochanan, meaning Rabbi Yochanan allows for the violation of the lav even if the chametz is outside the azara, but that can only make sense if you hold that hasra safek shmei hasra, because we don't know for sure that there is chametz. So now Reish Lakish is of the opinion that hasra safek lav shmei hasra. Therefore, there are two reasons why in this case there would be no violation of the lav and no chiyuv malchus. Number one, because it's not al b'samuk. Number two, it's hasra safek, which lav shmei hasra. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, the fact that the chametz is in the is outside the azar would not in any way diminish the violation of the law, because al b'samach lo be'inon. But there's another problem: asra safek. And Rabbi Yochanan happens to be of the opinion that asra safek lav. I'm sorry, that asra safek shmei asra. So the Gemara says, "V'hanami ha pligi b'chad azinu." This is also an ancient machlokas. The Itmar, we learned in a case of shvua she'ochal kikar zo hayom. So the man took a shvua that he's going to eat the kikar within the course of the day. Now it's moving towards the end of the day. It's almost shkia. So what do? We give him asra. You better eat the kikar. Over hayom v'lochlan. Despite the asra, he didn't eat it. So Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, the amich of hayu eino loka. The question is, why doesn't he get malchus? Rabbi Yochanan Amar eino loka mishum da'avi le'lav shem bo maisa. How did he violate this shvua? He didn't eat the kikar. Don't tell me that the reason why there's no malchus here is because asra safek, meaning that we don't know if he's going to eat the kikar later on. So it's always going to be a safek. We tell him, you better eat the kikar, or you're in trouble if you don't eat the kikar. So he still has a shahus bayom, he has a little bit of the end of the day to eat the time to eat the kikar. So it's always going to be asra safek. Rabbi Yochanan holds hasra safek shmei asra, but he's not here malchus because alav shem bo maisa. Reish Lakish amar eino loka. He also agrees that eino loka, but for a different reason. Mishum dahavi le asra safek. Because according to Reish Lakish, asra safek lav shmei asra, and there's no vadai here because he can violate the asra, and he still has some time to eat the kikar. Hasra safek lo shmei asra. Avalav shem bo maisa lokin alav. So there's no need to repeat this machlokes a second time. Meaning, now again, it's a little bit strange, Max, because what do you mean no need to repeat this machlokes? Basically, this comes down to the original issue of al b'samuch, I think, because if Rabbi Yochanan holds al b'samuch, lo bein and al b'samuch, then he's going to get malchus here, despite the fact that it's asra safek, because Rabbi Yochanan's of the opinion that asra safek shmei asra. If, on the other hand, you're talking about Reish Lakish, then you have two strikes against you. Number one, since the chametz is outside the azara, it's not b'samuch. Number two, since the chametz is outside the azara, it's asra safek, and asra safek lo shmei asra. So I think, Max, this is what you told me last week, either before or after Myron, I don't know when it was, that miman of shach, there's no chiddush over here. We can definitely come to the exact correct conclusions here based on our previous, you know, our information from the past of al b'samuch and asra safek. And it's going to come out like this, that if at the time the shchitas ha-karman, the chametz is outside the azara, Reish Lakish is going to say you don't get malchus, Rabbi Yochanan is going to say you do get malchus. And it's no chiddush here. Why? Rabbi Yochanan is going to start with Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is going to say you don't get malchus for two reasons.
That's because the hatrat's a fake.
And because it's an adal b'sot. Right?
So if
you don't have hatrat's a fake, two strikes why there's no violation of law. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand,
he has two reasons too.
Exactly, because first you don't need al b'samuch.
So it can be anywhere; it doesn't matter where it is.
And number two,
if you don't know where it is, it could be korban. It could be it's hatrat's a fake, but if you don't know.
And what's Rabbi Yochanan's opinion?
He holds it's good suffix. It's good
hatrat. Good hatrat. Suffix shmei hatrat. So that's what I think you were pointing out last week. I wasn't so. And I had to review it today in order to copy that. Basically, what the Gemara is saying is that I could calculate and arrive at the exact precise conclusion in this case where the chametz is outside the azara, both according to Reish Lakish Lakula and according to Rabbi Yochanan Lakula. Oh, Amri, Now the Gemara wants to go back and say, Al b'soma kamiflugi. We already know this machlokas, Al b'soma, it's old hat. Utsricha, but we need it. De'i iflugu le'inyin chametz. If we only had this machlokas once, as far as chametz. See, I was hoping that the Gemara would go the other way around and tell me, what if we only had the machlokas by lachmei toda and the kiddush? But the Gemara goes the other way around. That the reason why we have to document this machlokas here as far as chametz is because we wouldn't know what Rabbi Yochanan would say in the case of lachmei toda. If we gave inyan chametz, have amina bahu dekama bahu. In the case of chametz, who deka omar Rabbi Yochanan to lo beinon al besamuch. Why is Rabbi Yochanan waive the requirement of al besamuch? Not because he doesn't hold from al besamuch. He also accepts the principle of al besamuch, but not in the case of chametz. I don't care where the chametz is. Mishum the iser who chametz is iser. The kol hecha the iser iser. It's irrelevant where the chametz is located. It's still a chesed isura. It's omei bisura, and therefore it was logical, according to Rabbi Yochanan, even if he holds al b'samach b'inon, that here the shochet is going to violate for owning the chametz anywhere where the chametz is located. There's no logical reason why the chametz has to be near the shochet, and that's called in the lashon hashas isur huvakol hecha the isa isa. Le'inyan Mikdash. Now, as if you're talking about Kiddush Lechem of Lachmei Toda, here you need Azara, here you need Al B'Samuch, Lo Kodesh Al B'Fnim, is Modele, here Rabbi Yochanan would agree to Reish Lakish, to be eaten Al B'Samuch. Why? The E Isa Gavoy Kiddush V'Yilo Lo Kiddush, it's got to be, the Lechem has to be in the Azara, at the time of the Shechita. If not, it's not miskadosh. Why? Where do we find a precedent for this concept that you need the samuch? That's the case of klisharis. There's halacha of kiddush b'klisharis, that anything goes in, that goes inside the klisharis becomes sanctified. But ain't a miskadosh b'kiddush saguf el nichnas l'tochan. This is sugya earlier on da in zvachim on da peches. We're up to already Daf Kuf Dalet in Zvach, but on Daf Pei Ches, the Sugya establishes that the Kiddush of something through the agency of a Kli Sharis is Dafka when it's inside the Kli Sharis. And here also, the Kiddush through the Shechita of the Toda, vis-a-vis the Lachmei Toda, would only be if the Lachmei Toda are inside the Makom HaShechita. The Makom HaShechita is the Azara. We view the Makom HaZorah as a Kli Sharis, which is Mekadesh. Is Tzricha, therefore we need Rabbi Yochanan to tell me the Chiddush that we don't need Al B'Samuch even in the case of Lachmei Tod. So again, it's very fascinating to me. The Gemara is not saying that I need, you know, given the fact that Lo B'Inan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Lo B'Inan Al B'Samuch, I need a Chiddush in Chometz. That's not the Gemara's approach. The Gemara's approach is that if Lo B'Inan Al B'Samuch in the case of Chametz, I would not be able to derive the conclusion in Lachmei Toda. You know, what still remains difficult is, after we have the Chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan and Lachmei Toda, then Kolshken in the case of Chametz, you don't need Samuch. So I don't know why Rabbi Yochanan had to tell us both cases. The Iyash V'Inan L'Inyan Migda Mekadesh or Migdash Halechem Hava Mina, I would have said Bahachka Omar Rabbi Shimon. So now the Gemara is addressing my question. Why not tell me about the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in the case of Kiddush Lachmei Todin? Then I would certainly derive with the Kal Vachomer that Rabbi Yochanan drops the ball on Al B'Samuch. He drops the requirement in the case of Chametz. The answer is that if we only had the machlokas in the case of Kiddush Halechem, we would not know what Reish Lakish would say about the case of Chametz. Hava mina b'hachka omer Reish Lakish, divinan al b'samuch. Why did Isa Gavoy Kiddush Lo Lo Kiddush? No, we have the equation, the analogy to a cliche, so that's what Rish Lakish is really saying. He's not saying fundamentally Al B'Somach. He's saying in the case of Kiddush Lachmei Toda, there we require Al B'Somach for a different reason, not because Al B'Somach, but simply because of the precedent of Klisharis, that Klisharis is only Mekadosh that's within, and therefore the Shkitas HaToda can only be Mekadosh that, those Lachmei Toda that are in the Azor. Avoli in Chomets, Modelei L'Rabbi Yochanan, he would be Mod to Rabbi Yochanan to Lobin and Al B'Somach, because Reish Lakish never adopted the position of Al B'Somach. He only applied in the case of Kiddush Lechem for a different reason entirely. The Surahu, the Kolecha, the Isa, Isa. So wherever the Chometz is located, you violate the Isa. For example, by Yorah, by Motze, it doesn't matter where the Chometz is. Is therefore, I would assume that the violation of Los Ishkal Chometz would extend even to a case where the Chometz is outside the Azor. Tzricha, now I need Reish Lakish in that case as well. Okay. So this is all a presentation of what we know. Now we go out into the wild blue yonder. So I'm wondering if you would want to read the Gemara, Max. It's up to you. Because this is where we got up to. Boy mine Rav Oshia mi Rav Ami.
Yeah.
You would find it you know where the lines get wide at the bottom, so if you go up to the skinny lines, about 8 lines up, the first word of the line is tzricha.
Okay. Tzricha bit.
No, you're not high enough. What I'm saying is it's about here, tzricha. Do you see such a thing?
Yeah, tzricha.
Okay, you got it.
Rabbi Ami Eimel LaShochet V'yesh Bo L'Echad Yibnei HaChabura Mahu.
What do you think he's asking? After we add one word, Ein Lo Chametz.
So only if we understand if the Shochet has, the Pasuk says Lo Tishchad. Now it doesn't belong to the Shochet, it belongs to the Yibnei HaChabura. Only the Chabura.
And the Shochet went ahead and he checked in the carbon. So does he violate the law or does he not violate the law? Again, we saw Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish said earlier that he does violate the law. Do you remember that? That was explicit. But even if it was certain and clear in the mind of Reish Lakish, it wasn't so clear to Rav Oshia. So he's talking to who? The names here are important.
We start. The question was Rabbi Ushia asked Rabbi Ami, and so the answer from Rabbi Ami, or it was asked was to get the question, or answer the question. Miktiv lo tishchat al chametz cha, lo tishchat al chametz ktiv. He said, never says that lo tishchat, you know. Al chametz cha. It doesn't say your chametz. You know, the person does a shechita. Says al chametz, any chametz.
So he comes to the identical conclusion as Reish Lakish, but that's only Rav Ami, not Rav Oshia, who asked this question, is still not on board. Yeah. So again, who's talking now?
Rav Oshia back to Rav Ami. Ihachi afilu le'echad basov ha'olam nami.
Wow.
So like you heard Shlokasha, like what, really does he have to, like he can be anywhere. Chametz could be off in China. Who knows? Like how are we supposed to how we ascribe any fault to the Kohen?
But wait, Max, I want to make a point. It doesn't say Afilu Chametz b'sofa olam. It says Afilu Echad b'sofa olam.
So even one of the Bnei Chabura, he's not.
No, even if he's not one of the Bnei Chabura, Echad. Echad means anyone.
Oh, any Jew anywhere in the
world. Yeah, because listen to the pasuk. He's saying lo sishchat al chametz, and it doesn't have to be your chametz. It doesn't have to be your chametz. It could be anyone's chametz. So Yankel Beryl, who's out in Honolulu, has chametz in his possession.
It creates a lot of issues with time zones.
Right.
Yeah. Even if we're talking about in one time zone. Yeah. Nami Amarle.
Nami. No, it's even in this case. Somebody out there in.
Rabbi Ami answers back.
Oh, by the way, he adds in his Rubo. You got to give the Shochet Asra.
So he knows.
Right, so he knows that there's some Yankel Beryl out there in Honolulu, wherever he is, that has possession of Chomin. It says like this, lo tishcha al chametz sam zivchi v'lo yolin la boker zevach chag ha-posach. And it's all in one pasuk.
Tishcha and Lotali, those are the two loaves together, two loaves together.
Hanoch.
Oh, so we're learning.
Hanoch means in Hebrew elu.
So because this, because we learned that the loyalin is talking about,
right, that's the iser of making nosar. Meaning, if you don't eat the basar and you leave it beyond its time limit, you violate the lav loyalin.
Is that pigul?
Not exactly pigul. It's a psulina. Pigul is when he has a machsheves chutz l'zman.
Okay.
Here, he just left the carbon a lot, you know, past a lot of time.
So we we're learning out from lo yalin onto lo tishchat.
Correct. Lo tishchat al chametz hanaf the kainy alei mishum lo yalin. Who's included in the Easter of Lo Sishcha when the Torah warns you don't do this Shechita because it's coming to your possession? That's only those people, Hanaf means Elu, that would violate in this Karban Lo Yolin. Now, what that means is that you're responsible to eat the Karban and you didn't eat the Karban. Then you violate Lo Yolin because it goes beyond its time a lot. Now, who violates Lo Yolin because he omits his responsibility of eating the carbon? Do you hear my question?
Is that you're saying that?
I'm asking you the following question. Lo yolin is the flip side of eating the carbon. You're responsible to eat the carbon.
That's the word.
Exactly. So we know that lo yolin addresses the Bnei Chabura, and only the Bnei Chabura.
So
you know, you can't tell me, if I'm not part of the Chabura, you can't tell me I was over by lo yolin because I didn't eat the carbon. I can't eat the carbon. I'm not one of the Bnei Chabura. But any one of the Bnei Chabura is included in lo yolin. So let's say we take this lamb and we divide it up into five portions, because there are five people who are money on the... So each one of them has to eat his portion and not allow it to become one, to be left after its... You know, after its time allotment, because that's a violation of Lo Sosiru Menu Al Bok. But somebody who's not a member of the Chabura doesn't violate Lo Yolin. He's not responsible to eat the carbon. And now we have a hekesh between Lo Sishchat Al Chametz Sam Zivchi and Lo Yolin in the same pasuk. So anyone who's included in Lo Yolin is included in Lo Sishchat. Anyone who's excluded from Lo Yolin is excluded from Lo Sishchat. Who's excluded from Bal Yolin?
Everybody who's not on the Chabura.
Any non-member of the Chabura. And therefore, it's so facto, he's excluded from Lo Sishcha.
And that's what the answer of Rabbi Ami back to Rosh.
Ah, so wait a minute. So if this is Rabbi Ami's answer back to... Wait, I just want to get the name straight. In other words... So on the one hand it says Lo Sishchat Al Chametz, it doesn't say Chemtzecha, so the violation is going to be incurred by the Shochet, even though the Shochet himself is not in possession of the Chametz, someone else is in said. Oh, so Rav Oshi says, what do you mean someone else is for anyone? No, it's got to be one of the Bnei Chabura, because the Torah restricts to Bal Yom, right? Only that he who is included in Bal Yom. Om Rav Papa.
Torah Papa Hilkach Kohen Hamaktir Et Achelev Over below Tase. Hoil Vyeshno Bichlal Halanat. I'm Emurim.
Right, what happens to every carbon? Carbon Pesach is a wonderful example. There are two parts of the Achila. There's the Achilas Adam, correct?
Right.
Which means I'm obligated, whether I'm a Kohen in certain cases, like Kachim, or if it's Kachim Kalm, like Pesach, it means the Bailim have to eat the carbon. That's Achilas Adam. Then there's something called Achilas Mizbeach. You know, there's certain parts of the animal that cannot be eaten by man, they have to be eaten, so to speak, by the Mizbeach. That's called Hakatar. And one of those primary examples is Chelev. Do you ever hear that phrase at the beginning of Shas in Brachas Daf Beis? Hekder Chalavim.
Yeah.
That's why there's a Tefilas Meiriv. I'm sorry. That's why there's Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis at the time of nightfall, because of Hekder Chalavim. Because Hekder Chalavim can be, is a very unique category, but that applies at night. You know, nothing else can be done at night but Hekder Chalavim. In any event, so now, Rav Papa wants to know what happens if the Kohen, who is Maktir Chalavim of the Korban Pesach, and he has Chametz in his possession. Because until now we're discussing only two Kohanim, the Kohen HaShoket and the Kohen HaZorik. What about the Kohen who's in charge of Hekder Chalavim? He takes the Chalim and he puts it on the Mizbeach, on the Maroch, and he burns it. And he owns Chametz now. Says Rav Papa, he also violates the law. Why? Because you want to know who's included in the law, which personalities, which people, are persona, are included in the law. The answer is always going to be the Hekesh to Bal Yolin.
And in the Bal Yolin applies to the Maktir Chalavim.
Correct. Yeah, and the language of Rav Papa is Hoel V'yesham B'chal Halonas Imurim. You know, I find it a little bit odd. You know, Pasach B'chelev V'siyem B'imurim. He starts by with Chelev and then he calls it Imurim. But the word Imurim is a little bit more of a generic term.
Category.
Like, yeah, category. It's like a conceptual, all-inclusive category. Whatever the Mizbeach gets to eat, to consume, that's called Imurim. In this particular case, it's chelev, but it could be other things other than chelev. It's kloyos, if you've ever heard of it. You know, there's certain other parts which are included in the general category of emurim. So, in other words, when the Torah says lo yolin chelev chagiyat boker, the Torah is addressing the karbon, the kohen who's in charge of hekder chalavim, and saying to him, don't leave the chalavim past their time period. Now, in the case of the achilas hakarbon, so the achilas hakarbon is usually by day. And sometimes we allow it into the night, but only halfway through the night. In the case of Aymurim, we're going to allow it through the entire night, ad boker, until the next morning. So there's an azhara here, where the Torah is very careful to warn the Kohen not to leave the chelev until the boker, because that's beyond beyond its allotted time for faktoras Aymurim. If the Kohen goes ahead and he leaves the Aymurim off the Mizbeach, and day breaks, he violates this law of lo yolin.
Once he's able to be violated, the lo yolin, where he's included in
this law of lo tishcha.
If he did haftarah to chalavim with chametz, then he's over lo tishcha.
So just read you the one line here in the Masifti. He says the fine kishem sha shochet muzer shlo lishchot al chametz sheyesh bershus echad me elu, and it means anyone who violates the isra alona. Kach muzer hamaktir, hakoin hamaktir, shalol hahaktir sachelev kishiyesh chametz bershuso. And again, when he says bershuso here, he means bershus anyone who violates the Yisrael halon, any of the bnei achabur. So now, if I would give you a quiz question, which kohanim are could be in violation of this law?
The shochet, the Zorik, and the Machfeh.
And who has to, and who could be potentially in ownership of the Chametz?
Machlokes.
If we leave out Rav Oshia for a minute, let's go with Reish Lakish and now with Rav Ami, then it would be any of the Bnei Achabur.
Or any of these three Kohanim.
Right, I'm saying in addition to any of these three Kohanim, any of the Bnei Achabur.
Yeah.
And if I would ask you, where is the chametz? That also would be a machlokes.
Right.
Correct. So Reish Lakish holds you need al basamuch, so the chametz has to be in the azara. Rabbi Yochanan says you don't require al basamuch, but you have to add another proviso. Rabbi Yochanan also said it.
The
also something about
right. The
Yishmei.
The only that's wrong. So the question is azara something if it's not? If it's outside of the Azara, and he says, "Yeah, it's Hatrat Safek, but Micha, it's fine. You guys,
Hatrat Safek, Shmei Azara." Tanya Kavos did Rav Papa. Go ahead.
Tanya Kavos did Rav Papa. Hashochet et haPesach al haChametz over belo taase. Okay, that's according to Mishnah, right?
A brighter.
The brighter over belo taase al et haChametz Pesach al haChametz.
Oh, that's the punchline. Echad ha-shochei ve-echad ha-zorik ve-echad ha-maktir chayil.
Every single one of them.
Correct. So it's really interesting here. It's possible that one of the Bnei Chabura has chametz in his possession, might maybe be outside the Azor if we go like Rabbi Yochanan, and there are going to be three people who can get malchus.
All three with a trial.
Right. Yeah. But all three, the Shochet, the Zorik, and the Makhtir. It's like, for one Kizai, it's a chametz, three people are getting malchus.
Yeah, it makes sense. Don't do this Zrika. There's one of them who has chametz. He goes, whatever, I'm doing it. He goes, don't take that one, whatever. He goes, what else am I supposed to do with challah anymore? I already have these mizbeach, it's going to burn up, or I don't have a garbage can handy. I'll throw the mizbeach, I guess. It's a far-fetched situation, but.
Now there's another line in the Braisa which we didn't read yet.
Okay. So this extends it to Hamolek et Ha'of bi Arbasar Eino Ovir below Klum. So Malika on the Oaf, famous.
So one? The classical case of Malika on an Oaf is called Mechusa Kapar. That's Zav Zoma Yoledes and Mitzorah. Because as part of the Tara process, they have to bring a carbon. And until they bring their carbon, they're still considered tame, to some extent. So they have to bring their carbon. And in this case, they brought their carbon on the 14th of Nisan.
And they have chametz.
In the afternoon. And they have chametz. So the Kohen went ahead and did the malika. And he or somebody else in the chabura has chametz in his possession. Eino over below klu. And the reason for that is because malika is not shkita. And when the Torah says lo sishtat, it excludes malika. And in the case of an oaf, there is no shkita. It's always going to be, by definition, malika.
Or a mini. Is it really?
So I just want to read to you a footnote here, if you don't mind.
Okay.
He says the following, that we're going to learn later on that this braisa reflects the shita of Shimon, who says that you can be chayav for this lava lo sishtat, even for other karbonos, even if it's not a carbon pesach. So then we have to ask this, so why is Malika's oath inferior to any other Zevach? He says the reason for that is, so I thought it's because the Torah says Shkita, this is Malika, it's not Shkita. He says, Mishum didas Rabbi Shimon, didas Rabbi Shimon potter al shar zvokin kishishokta ver pesach al chometz. He's saying this has nothing to do with Malika and has nothing to do with oath. It's any carbon other than carbon pesach on the 14th of Nisan in the afternoon. You don't violate the law. So why does he give the example of oath just to throw us off? Oh, umashe nokta brisa oath mishum the ain derech lishlok behemus bizman akrovas hapesach. Tanya er pesach liachatzos. Amol carbon shal mechusa kapora. Ah, beautiful. Why was it common to bring this carbon of a mechusa kapora on the 14th of Nisan after Chatzos? Because as long as he's a mechusa kapora, he hasn't brought his kapora, he's still tame. He can't eat from the carbon pesach.
So he eats his part of the hachshara for his carbon.
Right. So you and I would say, well, let's warn the kohen who's doing this chatzos to make sure he's chametz free. Right? Otherwise, he's going to violate the law. And the answer is no, because this is not a carbon pesach. And Rabbi Shimon holds that at this point in time, meaning Erev Pesach, that's also the only violation of this law applies to carbon pesach, but not to any other carbon.
Okay.
Oh, Ramini.
Ramini is a true. Shochet the Pesach al Chametz over below Taisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Hatamid.
Af. He adds the words Hashoket as Hatamid. And we're talking about the Tommy Ben Arbayim, and he's got chametz in his possession. He's chayav according to Rabbi Yehuda.
Amru lo,
lo amru. According to Rabbi Yehuda, they say
lo amru ela bePesach bilavad. They say no. We're only talking about Pesach. Ematay
only a carbon pesach.
So ematay bizman sheyesh l'shochet olazorek olachan bechabura. Hayelam zava olam ein zach b'klo. That
example
we had in
Zinni,
just continue
according to the Braita. Yeah, we didn't get to the Kasha yet. Yeah. We're almost up to the Kasha.
Echad Molek. Echad Hamazek.
Wow.
Hamazek.
Yeah. So first of all, Echad HaMolik, that's against this price that we just learned now. Correct?
Right.
Because we're talking about Malikas Chatasol, and that's on Erev Pesach in the afternoon. Am I right?
Yeah. And then what's the Mazeh?
And the Mazeh is, there's a Molech, and then the second Kohen takes over the bird after the Malika, and he shakes it or squeezes it in such a way that the dam goes on in his bear. That's also considered an avodah. Then if he has chametz in his possession, and he violates the law.
According to Chacham, yeah.
According to Chacham.
But chametz in a mincha eino over below taitase. But we end there. We don't extend that law to the chametz.
Right. Maybe chametz is already not considered shechita. I mean, malika is a replacement for shechita.
It's not killing an animal in the Beit HaMikdash. It's still a form of
right. It's a form of carbon, but it's not an animal. And then he adds hamakir say murim.
Eino over below tase.
Oh wait a minute, that's a little problematic. Until now we said echad hamakir. So why now? There's another sphere here, I think. Right? Until now we said the maktir is chai. Are we missing something here? Oh, Baruch Hashem. We're not stupid. Look at the next few words. Kasha malika malika. Kasha aktar aktar. There's a double kasha here. First of all, the Bryce says you're not chai for malika. And here it says you are chai for malika. And secondly, the first price says that you're chayv if you're the maktir. And here he says you're not chayv. Forget about asking a kasha from one price onto the other. How are you going to understand the price? And the price itself is not integral, if you follow me. He gufa. The price itself is difficult. In Ketani, it says in the price that the Chacham tell Rabbi Yehuda lo amru ela b'korban pesach bilvad, meaning that for other korbanos you're not chayav. For other Tani, and then it goes ahead in the Sefer and says echad shochet echad zochet zorik echad molik echad mazeh. That certainly includes other korbanos. It's not limited to korban pesach because malika and azah mazeh can only apply to oaf. That's not a korban pesach. You can't bring a korban pesach from an oaf. So there must be an inner contradiction in the brisa, and we're going to have to work that out before we ask kashas from one brisa to the other. Work out the brisa in and of itself. I think we'll stop here because it's time for Ma'ariv.